Welcome to the new year, new decade, same old game show news edition of the Block Party for the week of January 12th, 2010. You should know the rules by now, since this is that we're starting our third year. I have the link at the upper left, the iTunes feed, or the dedicated webpage at www.blockpartypodcast.com. We start this episode with the hot breaking news that David Hasselhoff will not be returning to the hit NBC show America's Got Talent when it returns this coming summer. People.com posted a statement from Hasselhoff on January 6th. He said, quote, "I am proud that I was part of making America's Got Talent the number one rated show for the past four summers. It's been a rewarding experience, and now I'm thrilled to be able to follow my dream to do my own TV show, which will be announced very shortly." Hasselhoff adds, quote, "I want to thank my friend, executive producer Simon Cowell, and everyone at NBC and Fremantle for the opportunity for four great years." NBC confirmed the departure by saying, quote, "David's been an integral part of the success of America's Got Talent, and we're sad to see him go. We wish him all the best with his new show." At this time, no details of the Hasselhoff project have been released. But there are a few questions that beg to be asked with the release of this statement. First of all, who's going to replace David? That judge's spot was the Randy Jackson seat, in analogous to American Idol, on the AJT panel. The decision has to be made quickly, as auditions are going to take place over the next 2 to 3 months. Now, is this the real reason for his departure? While his statement reeks of some public relations spin, Hasselhoff has had a very public battle with alcohol abuse for many years. If anyone has seen that Cheeseburger Hotel video, you know what I mean. Is NBC really putting money into a show with David Hasselhoff, or is he finally truly getting clean and sober so that he can be a clean and sober parent to his now teenage daughters? And finally, does this affect the show? Piers Morgan is now going to be the only original member of America's Got Talent, so has it lost its original identity? It's going to be very interesting to watch the developments as they pan out. Whatever David Hasselhoff does, people watch and listen, so it's going to be very interesting to see what he does. Another NBC reality show that made news this week is Celebrity Apprentice 3. The Mark Burnett Donald Trump production is returning March 14th, and the cast list has been announced, and these are the people who are playing for charity, and it looks to me to be pretty good. We have on the male side former baseball player Daryl Strawberry, Poison lead singer and reality star Bret Michaels, former pro wrestler and Speed Channel Bull Run host Bill Goldberg, Michael Johnson, disgraced Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, comedian Sinbad, and celebrity chef Curtis Stone. For the women, we have singer Cyndi Lauper, America's Got Talent judge and reality show host Sharon Osbourne, actress Holly Robinson-Pete, Victoria's Secret model Salida Ebanks, current WWE diva and wrestler Maria Kanellis, comedian writer Carol Lafer, and game show host Olympic swimmer Summer Sanders. We had an excellent season last year, which was, of course, ruined by the poor final decision of Donald Trump awarding the $250,000 grand prize to Joan Rivers, charity, which was God's Love We Deliver, instead of poker player Andy Duke, because Rivers was pretty much an old person and tried harder and had spirit and all that sort of stuff, instead of being the better player like Andy Duke was. Let us hope that Trump stays out of the way and makes the right choices for gameplay instead of TV drama. That's going to be an interesting one to see as well. The bigger reveal, however, was the list of players in the 20th edition of Survivor Heroes vs. Villains. Dalton Ross of Entertainment Weekly confirmed the list after weeks of online rumors. Jeff Probst showed us a sneak preview of the show on the People's Choice Awards this past Wednesday, which gave us this list of the 20 heroes and villains. For the heroes, we have Rupert Bonham, who was on Pearl Islands and All-Stars, James Clement, who was on China and Micronesia, Colby Donaldson, who was on Season 2 of the Australian Outback and All-Stars, Cerie Fields, who has been on Panama and Micronesia, Amanda Kimmel, who has been on China and Micronesia, Jessica Sugar Kuiper, who is on Survivor Gabon, Stephanie LaGrosa, who is on Palau in Guatemala, JT Thomas, who won on Token Jeans, Tom Westman, who won on Palau, and Candace Woodcock, who is on Cook Islands. For the villains side, we have Tyson Apostol, who was on Token Jeans, Randy Bailey, who was on Gabon, Sandra Diaz-Twine, who was on Pearl Islands, Daniel DiLorenzo, who was on Panama, Russell Hans, most recently seen on the most recent season of Survivor Samoa, which was excellent, Jerry Manthe, who was on the Australian Outback and All-Stars, Boston Rob Mariano, who was on Marquesas and All-Stars, and who fell in love with Amber, as we all know, Parvati Shalo, who won on Micronesia and was on Cook Islands, Coach Benjamin Wade, who was on Token Sheens, and Courtney Yates, who was on China. Ross commented that fans will be divided over the fact that out of the 20 players, 9 are playing for the third time, including 2, James and Amanda, who will be competing for the third time in 6 seasons. At the end of the day, we looked at the names and we said, let's forget about who's been here once or twice or 3 times. Host Jeff Probst told EW.com in Samoa. Who do we want to see play again? Who does the audience want to see? And that's really what governed our choices. The only person who is missing from this cast here is Richard Hatch. But that's kind of was Hatch's own doing because he didn't pay his taxes and spent most of the last 2 years in a federal penitentiary for tax evasion. But this is going to be must-see TV when it returns on February 11th. Will Russell have an advantage going in because no one really knows his gameplay and he's going back-to-back? Will any of the winners win for the second time? Of course, a lot of Survivor fans, including myself, can't wait to see it. Next, a little inside baseball business to discuss, as we had 2 cable impasses over the holidays, one which was settled and one that is still going on as of this recording and writing. As we speak now, the one that was settled was Time Warner Cable's dispute with Fox TV. Fox and Time Warner came to an agreement around the new year, January 1st, so American Idol fans can get their fix on Time Warner. But the bigger dispute is the one with Cablevision and Scripps Networks. Scripps is the home of HGTV, home of Design Star and other shows, and the Food Network, home of the next Food Network star, Chopped, Iron Chef America, the next Iron Chef. We can go on and on and on. They have been off the Cablevision lineup since January 1st, and their 3.1 million subscribers are not happy. The dispute, of course, is over money. According to MediaWeek, Cablevision fired the first shot, issuing a release condemning Scripps Networks for refusing to agree to an extension of their carriage agreement, which expired at midnight January 1st. The statement said that Scripps rebuffed Cablevision's invitation to continue to negotiate through the deadline, as is standard practice. As Cablevision puts it, once the contract expired, Scripps took the extraordinary step of flipping a switch and removing its channels from Cablevision, effectively holding their own viewers hostage in order to pursue a more than 200% fee increase. Cablevision added that the move came with virtually no warning. Scripps responded by saying, quote, Cablevision is not telling the truth. Scripps Network Interactive has been trying to have productive negotiations with Cablevision for more than 6 months, but to no avail. Repeated requests to sit down together to discuss a fair market for our networks has been rejected, even as recently as January 3rd. While Scripps Networks did not address the specific dollar amount it was looking to secure from Cablevision, the company revealed that under the terms of its expired contract, the operator paid 25 cents per month per subscription for the combined network. A 200% increase would bring the fee to 75 cents per subscription, which would effectively raise Cablevision's monthly payment from around $775,000 to $2.33 million. And Food Network is taking some extraordinary steps so that viewers can see the premiere of a big show. Viewers in the New York tri-state area will be able to see the unprecedented culinary competition called Super Chef Battle and Iron Chef America event on a special one-time airing on Sunday, January 10th from 8 to 10 p.m. on WPIX-TV in New York, which is Channel 11, and WTXX-TV, which is Hartford's Channel 20. The special episode, which premiered on Food Network this past Sunday, January 3rd, starred Mario Batali, Bobby Flay, and Emeril Lagasse, and White House Executive Chef Christetta Comerford in an unprecedented culinary competition. My guess is the two sides will come to some agreement, as Scripps Network International is spending a lot of money in online, radio, print, and TV ads to get to fans to talk to Cablevision to bring them back on the system. There will be some compromise, especially in this economy. Probably you'll see maybe between 1.3 and 1.5. They'll get some increase to make sure that there will be some happiness involved. Speaking of the economy, the Los Angeles Times is continuing the reports, and this is another one in a long series of reports, of how people are going on game shows to help out their own financial situations. Michael Albo reported on two different people. Jasmine Bryan is a 34-year-old out-of-work TV producer who was checking job listings when she came across an ad soliciting contestants for Catch-21 on GSN. After reading the hook, she was intrigued. I thought, oh my God, $25,000 would really help out a lot. Even after taxes, it would help pay for my car, my rent, my insurance, the whole nine yards. I'd be able to help fly back east to visit my family for the holidays. Ashley Quello, 29, an out-of-work accounts executive, was searching Craigslist for a job. It's when she saw an ad looking for contestants for a newlywed game. She's recently married. She talked her husband into giving it a try. It's really tough out there, she said. Cash or prizes, it didn't really matter. It was really the only way we could possibly do anything for a honeymoon. Before the economic meltdown, Bev Pomerantz, a veteran casting director for Catch-21, rarely saw prospective contestants who were college-educated, professional, and out of work. That demographic now is around 10%, she said. Catch-21's host Alfonso Ribeiro said this: during the first season, there were a lot of people going for the $25,000 regardless of how the odds were stacked up against them. The second season, which we shot back in March, most people were saying, I'm taking the money I've already run. I'm not risking it. I think the total was 13 episodes where if they would have gone for it, they would have won $25,000. Kelly Good, senior vice president of programming at GSN, the cable game show network, says the company doesn't keep statistics on the unemployed hopefuls who auditioned for GSN's growing string of original programming. But, she added, the numbers of contestants in general are up, and more of these people are looking for work. We have a growing pool of people looking to be on a show, she said. This, of course, is going to continue for the foreseeable future. With no immediate economic relief in sight, unemployment at 10%, and more shows on the horizon, game shows will continue to be a refuge for the underemployed and the unemployed. It will be harder and harder for people to get on these shows because the application pool will continue to increase. It's fact of life, folks. Game shows do better in the economic downturn, not worse. Block Party Quick Hits time. Seducing Cindy is debuting on Fox Reality on January 30th. It's a dating show where 40-year-old internet supermodel Cindy Margolis tries to find love. Oh, it's so nice. Her suitors run the gamut from 18 to 71 years old. Yes, that's right. Bob Barker continues to put his money where his mouth is with regards to animal rights. He recently donated $5 million of his own money to the Sea Shepherds Conservation Society, which built a 1,200-ton ship which rescued six members of the society after a confrontation with a Japanese whaling ship. And the ship is named, believe it or not, the Bob Barker in his honor. Pretty cool. Donny Osmond will launch a syndicated radio show a week from this coming Monday called The Donny Osmond Show on January 18th. Melissa Rycroft is legally changing her name to Melissa Strickland after her recent marriage. EntertainmentWeekly.com is reporting NBC is considering a relaunch of the franchise Last Comic Standing. Singing Bee is returning to CMT for season 2 on January 15th. It was the highest rated show in 2009 for country music television. No surprise there. Poker After Dark is back on NBC, but now you can see all the poker players in HD. Big news for British game show fans. The Crystal Maze is rumored to be up for a revival on ITV. Bob Eubanks is talking up his newlywed game hosting appearance. American Idol's Jason Castro is recently married. Congratulations. Chris Harrison of The Bachelor addressed the scandal where a contender for the heart of Jake Pavelka and a show producer were caught, well, doing something they shouldn't, which was having an affair. It was embarrassing for us, incredibly unfortunate, and horrible decisions were made, he said on Valentine in the Morning on 104.3 MyFM on Monday. This is something we took very seriously, and it's something that we couldn't just let sit by. However, they decided not to let Bachelor Jake Pavelka stay in the dark. In fairness to Jake and for all the women, we decided to nip this in the bud and take care of it. And this is what we did, he said. There are train wrecks in the show where I'm like, oh, it's going to be great. Let them have it. But I felt bad for everybody, and it was an uncomfortable deal. So how were they caught? It was a little bit of both, and then he came forward. He eventually stepped up to the plate, and we were like, well, all right. There was a barnstorm. There was a fire. And Tyra Banks says now she's shutting down her talk show at the end of this season. That's another hour of programming. Hint, hint. Well, that's all for the first episode of 2010. I want to wish you all guys a happy, healthy new year. You can find me at beattheblock, twitter.com/beattheblock. I always get that messed up. And remember, this is Jason Block for the Block Party Podcast saying, don't just play fair, play to win. The Block Party Podcast is a production of GameShowNewsNet.com, copyright 2009. My recording engineer is Ivy Reisner. The opinions expressed in the Block Party Podcast do not necessarily reflect those opinions held by GameShowNewsNet.com as a whole. Some of the music provided for today's podcast was provided by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.